Praying, Father, help of the Lord, I would again direct you to the text we had this morning, which is to be found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. As you know, I spoke much upon the first verse, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. And I do desire that if anyone knew, and I believe this, that every single child of grace, they walk in a conflict. Yes, they do. They have something which is in their lot, and that's something they feel. That as Paul speaks of it, he speaks of that thorn in the flesh. And Jesus speaks of it when he says, take up thy cross and follow me. That is the acceptance of the cross. That is the acceptance of the thorn in the flesh. And you, like myself, no doubt, you feel if it wasn't for this thorn in the flesh, if it wasn't for this cross, that you would get on much better. Now, we, every single one of us, we need a ballast. You may feel that it would be much better for you to live on the mountaintop, to bathe in the love of Christ, to think of Christ all day and all night, to live in Christ and upon him, in that freedom within your very soul, and sin not be a burden. And all of these things which you carry in your heart, if they were silent, no. If they were washed completely away, you feel within your heart, then you would serve Christ much better. And you would walk in that holy love upon the earth. That's what I thought. That's what Paul thought. But what did the Lord say to him when he had that thorn in the flesh? And believe me, that thorn in the flesh is a thorn. You don't need me to tell you. You've probably experienced, every one of you know what it is, to have a thorn, maybe a tiny little thorn, go into your finger, and you may not even be aware of it in your finger until you touch it, and then it suddenly flames up, a pain, and how it festers until that thorn is removed. But what did Paul say? He said this. He said how that I knew such a man. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into, up to the third heaven. What an experience to lose sight of your body, to lose sight of all things below. Do you believe that it's possible for you to be doing that which you normally do in your life, whether laboring at home, whether laboring in your place of business, wherever you may be, to lose complete sight of everything under the power of the manifestation of the love of Christ within your heart? Lose sight of everything. I remember a servant of God speaking of how that in his trials, in his troubles, how he came to a place he lost sight of everything, everything. And the Lord carried on his business before me. He wasn't even aware of it. And I can say exactly the same. I remember carrying out a sales transaction. I don't remember it. The Lord, he broke into my soul, and I lost sight of everything. Yet I carried through that transaction, and no customer knew about it, neither did anyone. The Lord did it. Do not limit the power of God. Do not limit his power. He may come to you at such a time as you think not, and so lift up your soul, lift up your heart, lift up your mind, that you lose sight of everything. Don't say it's not possible. Don't say it's not possible. Because the Lord may bring you into it. I remember a servant of God, I wasn't there, it was told me, how that many in his congregation, and he also, was in providential trials in the early part of this century. Most of his congregation, they were struggling to make their way, struggling to pay their debts. And the Lord led him in that path. How did he lead him? He put him in the same path. That's how he brought him to preach, and that's how he brings his preachers to preach. He puts them in the same path as the people of God walk in. And he said this, God can make a shilling go as far as a pound. And there was a woman there. She was in providential difficulties, but she said within her heart, that's not possible. Not possible. She rejected what he said. And there came a time, how long ago, how long it was between that sermon and when she and her husband, they came into a great trial. And in that trial, they had children, and the baker used to deliver the bread. Now, she wasn't aware of this, but the baker came and she said, "Not today, thank you." And you know, that went on for a week, for a few days, until Friday, I believe it was, when the baker had had enough of it. He said this, "Look, missus, if you don't want to buy my bread, just say so." And those words of the servant of God came back to her mind. God can make a shilling go as far as a pound. The children hadn't complained. The children hadn't been scrambling for bread. They hadn't wanted any bread in their trial. And she proved the saying true. Look at Elisha, was it, when they said they hadn't anything to eat in the city, and how he prophesied that on the morrow there would be abundance of food, and the man next to the king, how he said and how he more or less condemned him. Impossible. I'm not stating the exact wording, but Elisha said, "Thou shalt see it with thine eye, with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat." And as we read, the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Oh, how very careful we have to be. How very careful. And so we find here how Paul spoke of it. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Or, as is said in the margin, possible. And you will find that though there are things, those experiences, very sacred experiences, that you cannot speak of them. And you would, how many of you, like myself, would have given Christ to someone you love, someone in trouble? You would have given them Christ, you would have given them hope, but you cannot. They must experience it for themselves, and so must you and I. And so we come, you see, how he came and said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure." Now go back to what I said to you. You may feel that if you didn't have this thorn in the flesh, if you didn't have this affliction, if you didn't have this cross, you would. This is the answer. Spiritual pride would soon creep in. It's a painful lesson to learn. But where did Paul come with it? He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And how many of God's people have come into that very pass? And I would say, in measure, when the Lord shows you, you'll say, I understand, Lord. It's far better for me to walk in the valley of humiliation. Far better for me to have this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, than to dwell in the heights. Oh no. If you're in the heights in Christ Jesus, in his love, under his power, in your very soul, there is no sin. There is no desire for sin. There is but one desire, to remain in his love. If you can say that you are dwelling in the love of Christ and have a desire for sin as well, you're not in that spot. I know there's trials. I know that. There is a desire between the new man of grace and the old man of sin. There is that conflict which goes on. But it's the new man of grace within your very soul that desires this rest. Isn't it painful, all this conflict? Anyone not knowing this conflict? And when you speak of that, those desires that you have in your flesh, people will say, well, what a strange language. What a strange religion. Here's one professing to be a Christian and confessing all these things. But the child of grace knows it. They wouldn't dwell in it. They would dwell in that resting in Christ. Because it says here, he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. He has ceased from his own works. Oh, the implication of this. Now this is not slothfulness. I emphasize that. It's not being slothful. As a man came up to me once, not one man of the world, a man that attended, as far as I know, the house of God all his life. He said, if I'm saved, I'm saved. If I'm lost, I'm lost. There's nothing I can do about it. I didn't answer him. How could you answer a person saying that to you? That is not the walk. That is not the life of a child of grace. No, it isn't. It's a life of conflict. It's a life of trial. But within your heart, as there was within the heart of Bunyan's pilgrim, canst thou see yonder light? There is a little light within your heart, and you seek after that light. Once you've tasted that within your very soul, there is from that moment on a living desire. I spoke of it this morning, a living desire within your heart that you may know him and be found in him. And I will mention it again. There is the absence of that love, that desire within the heart of a child of grace, that causes them so much grief, so much sorrow. Yes, it does. Oh, how we all are. Even, I say even, although you hope, you have a good hope in Christ, there is still a clinging within your heart to the law of works. Yes, there is. Now, I want to make absolutely clear to you, there's a difference between clinging to the works of the law and this laboring which is in the next verse. There's a difference. And when you, as it were, you seem to be able to get the outside right, no one can point a finger of scorn at you. In fact, they may say to you, you're a Christian, aren't you? You're honest. I know a man, he was talking to me the other day, short time ago, and he said to me, one of his associates, he happened to make a remark, in all honesty, and this man said to him, as usual, as usual, you're an honest man, a Christian. See, the world may give you that, and you know, you may go away home and you may feel pleased with yourself, pleased with yourself. And then come, and something come in, that thorn in the flesh brings you back to your right mind. Oh, the many, I spoke of those many dangers. And I spoke of those signposts that point here and there. But there is one signpost that goes straight, points straight to heaven. This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the left hand and when you turn to the right, and Isaiah, what did he say? Thou shalt hear a voice behind thee. Hear a voice behind when you're walking in this path. Do you know what it is? I believe you do. In fact, I know, I would just, without presumption, I would say you know. You know these things. I feel freedom in preaching here. But there are those that live in the law of works. They wouldn't want this ministry. They wouldn't want this preaching. Why? It's what I do for the Lord. That's why. The prayers, you see, is... tell me what to do, Lord, and I can do it. But no, it's a walking, wholly dependent upon him. I'll just mention this to one illustration. concerning meditation. Now it's a great trial to me. Oh, it is a great trial to me. Meditation. But there have been times in my life when the Lord has given me meditation. And you may find that yourself, you are reading the Word of God. You would meditate upon it. You would have a desire to go to the Word of God and to read His Word, that desire in your heart. And when you come to read it, it's as dry as dust. Can't see a thing in it. You would rather read something else. But let the Lord open the sacred pages to you, and it would be food and drink to your very soul. That's what I mean. And there you prove the difference between indited meditation and that which you try in and of yourself. But that doesn't mean, as I said before, you should sit down and say, well, I can't meditate, because you do not know when you go aside to pray, when you go aside to study, when you go aside to meditate, you do not know when the Lord may break into your very soul. But here we come, you see, here that the child of grace, and these moments, as the hymn writer said, rich in blessing, which before the cross I stand. All those moments. And how they, in those moments, it is a resting in Christ. Ceasing from your own works, ceasing from your own labors, and coming to sit at the feet of Jesus. Vitally, what it is. And Jesus spoke of it when he said, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And he spoke of a camel going through the eye of the needle. And as you know, concerning that eye of a needle, which was a little door in the big gates, and the camels had to be stripped of all that they had, all the baggage they had, it had to be stripped off them. And often it was so low that they would have to go through on their knees being pushed and dragged through. I remember a writer of the East, in a little book I have, by a converted Jew, and he spoke of it, how he had actually witnessed it as a camel going through the eye of a needle for a little child. A little child has a teachable spirit. A little child has a thirst for learning, and so is a child of grace. When you become as a little child, you have that thirst for the knowledge of Him, and you have that desire within your heart that you may rest in Christ, that you may sit at His feet and learn of Him, ceasing from all our own works. Oh, it's a labor, and here we come. We find here that it says here, as God did from His. Oh, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to receive his wisdom. Do you get tired of your own wisdom? Do you get tired of your own understanding? And do you seek the Lord that he may give you wisdom? I know of cases, I won't speak of myself, when you've been in a trial, there may have been something come into your lot, where it's beyond your capability to do. You may be an expert in your chosen sphere, and then come into something which is beyond you, and have to pray to the Lord for wisdom, for his wisdom. And he may give you, and he does, give you the answer. And it may be such a simple thing which you'd completely overlooked, his wisdom. He can manage all your affairs. As we sang this morning, the fixtures, powers of chance, and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And I felt this afternoon, in that hymn of Anne Still, I love Anne Still's hymns, there's a simplicity about him. There's a love, there's a childlike spirit in her hymns, and where she says this, my hope, my trust, my life, my Lord. Now this is the childlike love. This is the desire within the heart of a living soul. Assure me of thy love. Is that what you want? That's what I want. That's what I seek. Assure me of thy love. To know that peace and love within my soul. Oh, speak the kind transporting word and bid my fears removed. Fictitious powers of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. All those two hymns, those are the desires of a living soul. Ceasing from your own works, bad or good. Let us labor. Let us labor. I can do no better than to go to the book of Job. In Job 23, you'll find in there the soul laboring to enter into that rest. And you can find, as we read together in the 8th of Romans, how he spoke of that conflict, how he spoke of that trial, and how he spoke of how the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, laboring before the Lord, that you may obtain the blessing. Now you see why I say there's a difference between that trusting in your own works and laboring before the Lord for the blessing, for it is the Holy Spirit helping your infirmities. That's what it is. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit within your very soul causing these prayers to come out to Him. And those prayers, under the power of the Holy Spirit, those prayers of which I would say this without being contradicted, that is the very power of faith moving within your heart when the heavens are open and when you see nothing but the heavens above where Christ dwells and your very heart goes up to Him in intercession, in prayer, and also I might add in thanksgiving. Oh, those intercessory prayers of Christ, and oh, those intercessory prayers that come forth out of your heart under the power of God within your very soul, pressing out in prayer before Him. Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. In that wrestling before Him. And as Job said, he speaks of his case and he says, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Now this soul, when you come into that prayer, when you come into that vital prayer, when your prayers reach up unto heaven, there is no doubt within your soul, you're completely taken up in prayer before Him. And you believe, yea, I say you know, that He is receiving your prayers. All those moments you may only know once or twice in your whole life, these intercessory prayers. Only once or twice. I hope I've experienced it twice in my life. That's how rare they are, but they're real. Oh, they're real. And you would long to come into those prayers again in your exercises, in your trials, in your seeking Christ, seeking for that rest. Oh, how in the words of the hymn writer is you long for that. And we find here with Job, when he comes before the Lord, and he speaks of what he would do. He said, I would order my cause before Him, fill my mouth with arguments, and so on. Will He plead against me with His great power? No, but He would put strength in me. What have I just been saying to you? It is that strengthening of you in that prayer before Him. It is His strength, not yours. His, under His power. Oh, to come into that blessed place. There the righteous might dispute with Him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. But then he goes on. The laboring. He said, I go forward. Now this is a child of grace in his exercise or her exercise before the Lord. Behold, I go forward. But he is not there. Oh, the trial of a child of grace. And backward. But I cannot perceive Him on the left hand where He doth work. But I cannot behold Him. on the right hand. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Oh, that laboring! Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Oh, that is the laboring of a child of grace. But then, faith at the bottoms of the mountains. Faith when you feel to be worn out. When you feel that it's impossible to find him. Living faith at the bottoms of the mountains. But he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take. Can you say that in your trials? Can you say that in that which you are carrying before the Lord? He knoweth the way that I take. But what is the answer? He says this: when he hath tried me. In all these paths, in all these scenes of life, all these things which seem to be against me, all these cross-handed blessings, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold, resting in Christ, the perfect, finished work of Christ. Oh, to rest in his love. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen.